I've been talking to you about a revelation of love, the importance of knowing how much God loves you. Let me say this about the CDs, particularly for you that are new. Our CDs are out in the foyer. They're always free. Just find out what's out there. Pick it up. It's right there by the window on the right. The series that I've been doing on Wednesday nights, the Lord had me doing, is Discovering the Kingdom of God. I made 5 of the first one, and then we have 5 of the second one on from this past Wednesday. Seth's looking at me like, what do you mean we have 5 from this past Wednesday? You didn't have the master. Guess what? I found a CD, son, so you can make that 5. Amen. But so first come, first serve. And we'll make some more for next week. So, cause that 5 is going to go quickly. But yes, please, anytime you see that. And of course, the messages are on the website at lifeoffaithchurch.org. But the Lord's had me minister on a revelation of love. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm not going to spend hardly any time, recapping, but in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer was that we'd be rooted and grounded in love, that we may all together as the body of Christ know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that we may know what is the height, the depth, the width, the length, that we may know how much God really loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. And so that we have to get a revelation of how much God loves us. And when we really understand how much God loves us, then we're going to, number one, reciprocate that love back to him. It's not that God loved us first. I mean, it's not that we loved God first. It's that he loved us. And as a result of how much he loves us, we turn around and we love God. But if we're going to love God, then we've got to do what God has said, and that is to love each other. Now, this week, Friday is Valentine's Day. Some of my focus this morning is going to be on marriages and relationship, but it's not going to be limited to that, because you can take these principles and apply it to every area, okay? So as we go through this, I'm going to go kind of pretty fast, because we're a little bit over time this morning, so I'm going to move through things quick. So what may happen is I may go so quick that you may miss some things, so make sure that you get the CD, go back and listen to it again. Hallelujah. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, I'm so excited about this morning. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message that we have had, that we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I love that. In God is no darkness. What that simply means is that if there's darkness that's happening in your life, God didn't cause it. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to you when God doesn't have bad on the inside of him. Amen? Every good, every perfect gift, James chapter 1, comes from the Father above. Every good, every perfect gift. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So John here is really focusing on the fact that we have got to live a lifestyle that is walking in the light. How do we do that? Let's go over to chapter 2. Let's look at verse 5. But whoso keeps his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Now, we talked about that last week. The importance of us loving God. And the importance of us making sure that our lifestyle reflects the fact that we love God. We can say that we love God, and people talk about loving God. But if their actions don't follow what they're saying, then in reality, the love of the Father may not really be operating in your life. That's last week. But then he says, hereby we know that we are in him. He that says that he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that my lifestyle should reflect the lifestyle that Jesus had when he was here on the earth. I mean, who is he talking about when he says, even as he walked, he's talking about how Jesus lived on the earth. So if you want to know what your life should look like, then you need to go look at the life of Jesus. Amen. So we need to live our life. We need to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. Jesus walked in power and authority. That means we have the ability, we have the opportunity to walk in power and authority. Jesus walked in love everywhere that he went. That means that we should walk in love everywhere that we go. Jesus healed the sick. That means we have the opportunity to heal the sick. Jesus set captives free. We can do that. So however Jesus walked, Jesus himself said, he said, he whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these. We can go beyond. That's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. Some people may not believe what he said. Some people say some of that's done away with. But Jesus said, whosoever. And last time I checked, I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, this thing which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. Remember last week we looked at Matthew chapter 24 and 25 that talked about that because iniquity is abounding, that the love of many shall grow cold. That's what Jesus said. The love of many. And there's a lot of people, even in the church, that they've lost their love for people. They've lost their love for God. Their love has grown cold. But it also talked about people being offended. And as a result of their offense, they would betray one another and they would hate one another. And what I was talking about last week is that it seems like, particularly in our nation, we see it around the world, that there is this spirit of hate that has been kind of erupting in our churches, in our families, in our nation. You see Republicans against Democrats, Democrats against Republicans. You see more racism today than I think than we have seen in a very long time. There's a more of a focus on that. There is a focus to divide us instead of to create unity. Love will create unity amongst people. Hate seeks to divide people. Whatever it is, poor against rich, you see it all over. And then there is a real push in our nation to make fun of and to try to discredit Christianity. And there is a lot of hate that is focused towards Christianity and the Christian lifestyle. Saints, we've got to attack that spirit in our homes. We've got to not allow hate to enter into our hearts. We got to make sure that as we minister and as we talk to other people, that we're not allowing offense to come in. We cannot give place to the devil. The Bible says, give him no place. Resist the devil and he will flee. You can't let little seeds of hate come in. You can't let little seeds of offense come in. You can't allow yourself to be upset at your wife or at your husband for just a little bit because you feel like you're justified, because what you're doing is you're cracking the door open to allow Satan to come in and to create problems in your life. The Bible says that where strife and envying is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so what he's doing here is he is about to talk to us about the importance of walking in the light and how we do that. And he says here, he that hates his brother is in darkness even until now. I told you I was going to move kind of quick. But he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now turn with me over to chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life
because we know the brethren, but he that loves not his brother abides in death, dwells in death. Let me kind of create an illustration. Seth, come here, please. Seth, one of my favorite people to pick on. Actually, I'm not going to pick on you this morning, Seth. I guess, Olivia, I need you. And I need, Melanie, I can use you. Usually I pick on Jeff. I think it's your turn this morning, right? The Bible very clearly says that we are a three-part being. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. James, can I have you for a moment too, sir? I don't know, maybe I should just use the whole congregation. Everybody come up. All right, James. James is Jesus.
There you go.
James is Jesus, okay? Now, the Bible says that we are a three-part being. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Okay? Now, when you become born again, the Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You become a new creation. What happens is your spirit gets joined to Jesus' spirit, and there is no separation between the two. So what I would like, Melanie here is going to represent the spirit that is in man, okay? This is the good part that is in you. This is why I chose Melanie. No. So what I'd like for you to do is just put your arm through there, because you're hooked up to Jesus, and you're not moving. Okay. Now, Olivia is going to represent another part of your body, and that is, your soul. Now, your soul is made up, it's really your character. It's who you are. It's your personality. It is your mind. It is the part that makes decisions. Okay. It's where your emotions are as well. And Olivia is a good choice for that, because Olivia can be pretty emotional at times. So here's Olivia that represents your soul. And now Seth is going to represent the third part, and that's the body. Okay? And so the body, you know, the Bible talks about the body and the flesh doesn't want to do what the spirit wants to do. And there's times that Seth does not want to do what his parents have asked him to do. So he's a good representation of the body. Okay? Now, this is what we as believers, this is what we have to deal with. This part of you is the one that's having to make all the decisions. Okay? Now, this part right here, your spirit always wants to do what's right.
That's right.
Love is in the spirit. Because we are... The Bible says, let me get in front. The Bible says that we've been raised up together with Christ and made to sit in heavenly places with him, right? So the position, how did that happen? It happened in the spirit realm. See, there's no distance, there's no time with the spirit. So what's happened is your spirit is already connected to Jesus, and that's where you are in the spirit realm. Amen? All right, so Melanie's always... love, always righteous, always wanting to do the right thing. The spirit man always wants to do it. Why? Because it's got Jesus and it's exactly like him. Amen. We've been made in his image. Now, let's suppose that this group of people represents a lady. Sorry, Seth. Represents a lady, a wife. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. And I'm going to use myself as an example as the husband, because I know my faults. I know the things that has a tendency to really upset, you know, Jennifer. And so this is Jennifer. Here we go. And, you know... I don't know if I'm about to get in big time trouble or not. So y'all need to, Seth says, oh, you are. So I just need y'all to pray for me a little bit, okay? For you that can pray in the Holy Spirit, now's a good time to do that as we embark. No. So maybe I have done what I have done for all of our married life. It'll be 25 years in April that we will be married. Hallelujah. She put up with me that long. But to this day, I still have a very, very bad habit of just leaving my clothes on the floor in our bedroom and, throwing my socks wherever I want to. I have not done a good job of doing better in that. And we'll talk about that in a moment, okay? But this is a problem for Jennifer because in her mind, it's like, you got two hands. You can pick up your clothes and you can put them over there in the clothes hamper. And how many of you would say that she's right? Amen. Well, all the women for sure do. Okay. But here's the thing. Guess what? Since the Spirit is always hooked up to Jesus, Jesus is always in the light. So the Spirit man is always existing in the light. But what we want is we want the voice of the Father and we want direction of the Father to get to our mind so that we can make a decision to live after Him. That's why it's important that we hear the voice of the Father. Amen. See, it's really about getting things that has already been given to us in our spirit, man, because this is the way that God talks to us is through our spirit. And it's about getting the things that are in our spirit up to here. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The problem is not your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. The problem is getting what's down there and starting to change the way that you think and start following after the things of God and no longer allowing your emotions to drive you, no longer allowing your flesh to drive you, but allowing your spirit and what God has said to be the dominant force in your life. Amen. And so Jennifer walks into the room and she sees the clothes just strewn everywhere. Now, here's what happens. This part, the flesh, wants to say, we've been married for 25 years and he still cannot pick up his clothes. This part right here says, we've been married for 25 years. I love that man. He's a good man. He follows and starts focusing on the good. But this part over here wants to focus on the faults. Now, the mind has to decide. What if the mind decides I'm going to hook up with what the flesh wants to do? Go this way. No, go this way. And wants to follow the flesh. What has just happened is there is a disconnect from the voice of God. And what happens is that's allowed strife to come in, discord to come in. And as a result, now the rest of her mind and everything is in darkness and is blinded by whether Jennifer's really mad or blinded by the fact that I want to get even with him or blinded. I'm just going to leave them here, leave these clothes here until he finally picks them up. Whatever it is, what it can do is it can cause, if she needs to hear the voice of God for one of the children, if she needs to hear the voice of God of what I need to do today, if she needs to have direction, if she wants to make sure that there's not oppression that tries to come in, whatever it is that happens in her life because she made a decision to go with the flesh, she's over in a place that she cannot navigate correctly. The Bible says that there will be stumbling. They cannot see where they could go. But if she decides, you know what, I'm going to forgive him like I have for 25 years. I think I'm past 70 times 7, but I'm still going to do it anyway. (Laughs) what's most important for her? Now, this is a very minor issue, you know, and that's why I can use this. I think that it's a minor issue. I could be wrong. But listen, what's most important for Jennifer? Is it worth hanging on to this and not experiencing the wisdom that comes from God, the promises that come from God? Faith works by love. And so as soon as she decides, I'm going to stay in the flesh and I'm going to be angry, her faith can operate. She has just cut off the flow of the power of God and the promises of God into her life because she chose to stay in the flesh. So is it worth holding on to unforgiveness and all of those things just because it makes you feel better? Saints, I'm believing for too much just to feel better. It is time to connect over here and to stay in the light. And only when, according to this scripture, only when we are walking in love will we be abiding and walking in the light. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, that is an illustration to help you make those choices. Turn with me over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now notice he said submitting yourselves one to another. God never intended marriage to be where one person dominates another person. The Bible says that the husband and the wife in 1 Peter chapter 3, they are heirs together of the grace of life. And so, you know, some people have taken these scriptures and have gone to an extreme with them and basically have made women out to be servants or something like that. And that is never what God intended. You know, we are equal. We are heirs together. God just set man up as the head to be an authority because you can't have two heads. But he said, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In other words, you're not submitting yourself to your husband. You're submitting yourself to the Lord. You're doing it out of obedience to God. That's your focus. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I want to quickly relate the story that is in John chapter 8 about the woman that was caught in adultery. Okay? And we're going to see something in the lifestyle of Jesus. The woman that was caught in adultery, they brought to Jesus and said, the law says to stone her. What do you say? And as he was getting direction from God as to what to say in that moment, because it looked like he was between a rock and a hard place, the Holy Spirit showed him what to say. And, you know, he stood up and he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Just amazing what happened. And so they left and nothing happened. But what did he say to the woman? He said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, well, I don't have any. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I want you to notice the progression. He did not say, now listen, if you'll change your life, then you'll receive forgiveness. What he did was he offered the forgiveness and the non-condemnation. And then as a result of that, he said, now go and don't sin anymore. That is a pattern for us and our relationships with our husband, our wife, our children. We have a tendency to want to forgive when somebody says they're sorry. We want to wait for them to come and say, I was wrong, and then we'll offer that forgiveness to them. But if we are to walk as he walked, and that's what we just read, if we are to do what he did, then what we should be doing is we should be offering forgiveness and love unconditionally and allow God to deal with the individual. Because it's more important that I'm walking in love and in light and that I don't let unforgiveness and all of those things keep me in darkness, because I got to hear from God. It's not worth what happens in our relationship for me to be upset at Jennifer. You know, sometimes in a marriage relationship or in other relationships, you have a tendency when somebody does something wrong to you, then you want to just do something in spite back to them. Olivia, where's Justin this morning? Don't ask. Okay. This message is for Olivia. They're about to get married. But, you know, sometimes you just want to just, they need to know. They need to know, God, how much. I'm not going to budge. I am not going to budge. I don't care what she says or what she does. I want her to know that I'm not backing down. I'm holding my ground, period. And then it becomes, and what you don't know is she made the same decision. And so what happens is you go for a week, neither one of you budging, neither one of you communicating, and you missed a week of being able to walk in the light of God because you were angry with each other and you weren't willing to do anything about it. And you missed an opportunity for God to bless you that week. All because of your pride. Because that's all it is. Because you want to be right. Because you want to make sure that they understand that you were right and they were wrong. Hello. Now, my question to you is it worth it for you to feel good? Is it worth that week? That month. We are to love one another. What about a boss that constantly is berating you and constantly doing things that you don't agree with, or constantly favoring other employees over you? What do you do in that situation? How do you overcome that? I told you last week, and so I'm going to bring this to a close for sake of time. And then we can finish this up next week as we get more into the love of God. But how do you overcome that? How do you overcome a fellow employee? How do you overcome a brother or a sister or a relative or somebody who is treating you wrong? What do you do in that situation? How can you walk in love when everything in your flesh says, I can't stand this person. I can't do it. I can't walk with them. I can't do it, Pastor. Well, the first thing you have to recognize is you're right. You can't do it. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the second thing you need to recognize is if you can't do it, there's somebody on the inside of you that can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is the one that is love. And so you need to, it's not me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And we need to allow Christ to live through us. That's number one. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Listen, Jesus had to deal with this. The disciples had to deal with this. But Jesus said in 27, this is what you need to do. Love your enemies. And then he said something that is very difficult to swallow. He said, see, love your enemies. We could have stopped there. Because what that would have meant is that as we sat here and discussed all of our problems and who is creating problems for us, what we could have done is we could have sat here and said, yes, but I'm commanded to love. And so I love that person. Because we're real good at talking and making sure that people hear what they want to hear. But then he took it a step further. He said, do good to them which hate you. Do good to them which hate you. Now see, that's more than you just getting around somebody and talking about how much you love them. It now requires an action on your part. You have to do something. Somebody stabs you in the back at work. Your husband doesn't do the things that you expect him to do. Your wife decides, you know what? You know, I don't feel like showing any affection, so that's just the way that I'm going to be. And so a husband can get upset and angry because he's not receiving the affection that he wants. And so that creates another wedge between them. The Bible says, do good. Regardless of what the other party is doing, I have to find a way to do something nice to somebody. Nice to somebody that doesn't like me. I've got to figure out a way of doing something and being good to that person. He goes on to say, listen, this is very powerful. If we would actually do this, you're going to find that your level of understanding in the love of Christ is going to explode. Listen to me. Bless them that curse you. Somebody's cussing you out. Somebody's cursing you. You turn right around and find a way to bless them. It is a completely different attitude. Your flesh does not want to do that. Your flesh, when somebody cuts you off on the road, wants to give them a one-finger salute and let them know that Jesus is the only way. That's what your flesh wants to do. But in that moment, you should say, Father, bless them. Father, anything that I can do, maybe they're in a hurry. Lord, if they're late for work, Father, help them get to work on time. Father, whatever's going on in their life, whatever they're angry with right now, Father, just give them peace right now. Pray for that person. Pray for them which despitefully use you. I mean, you know they're using you. You know that they're taking advantage of you. And yet, he commands us to pray. But we want justice. Amen. I'm going to skip on down. Verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend. He's talking about lending money to your enemies, hoping for nothing again. That means lending, knowing full well you may not get repaid, but you're doing it out of love. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Why? For he, this is the key, for he is kind unto the unthankful. He is kind to the evil. How about how many times we have told God, God, I'm not going to do that again, and we turn right around and we make the same mistake? How many times have we just, for a month of our life, just didn't even pick up our Bible, didn't pray, didn't do anything, just kind of turned our back on the things of God, you know, kind of went through one of those Christian funks, if you will, kind of a downtime. But yet, through all of that, his mercy endures forever. His kindness, when we were unthankful to God, when we were not right with God, his mercy and his love were still extended to us. We must learn to treat those that hurt us. How do you get over the hurt? Somebody asked me last week, well, how do you love people that you just don't like? This is the key. I had a situation with a family member that was very hurtful, and I could not figure out a way. The thoughts in my heart towards that individual were wrong. They were hurtful and bordered on probably hate, you know, just because of the way that I was treated, the way that my family was treated, and the dislike. I didn't know what to do. And I was praying about it. I said, God, I don't want to feel this way. What do I do to get rid of this? And in the middle of that, the Lord, this scripture came to my mind. He brought it to my remembrance. He said, you got to love your enemies. You got to pray for them that despitefully use you. You got to bless them. And so you know what I did? I started praying for that family member. I started praying that their businesses would do well, that everything in their life would be well. I started praying for God's best in their life. Now, my flesh did not want to do that because my flesh wanted to make sure that they reaped wherein they sowed. But that's not what God said to do. And what happened is in that moment, in that 5 minutes, as I started praying, my heart began to change. I started truly wanting God's best for their life. I started praying the heart of Jesus. Jesus was praying through me instead of my mind and my flesh praying. And what happened is from that day, and that's been, I can't even, maybe 5 to 10 years. I don't remember how long now. But from that day, my heart towards that individual has completely changed. It's no longer an issue. Never was an issue after that. That's the power of the Word of God. That's love in operation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last scripture. And this is what we're going to pick up on next week. Listen, I have told you that the gifts of the Spirit must be in operation. That the power of the Holy Spirit must operate in our church. Must operate in churches throughout this nation, throughout the world, that we must see signs and wonders. And all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about the gifts, talking about the Holy Spirit. But I want you to look at the very last verse of that chapter, because he says, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, covet earnestly the best gifts. These are talking about prophecy and healings and all of this kinds of things. He said, yet I show you a more excellent way. In other words, as much as we desire the gifts of the Spirit, as much as we desire the power of God operating in our lives, there is something that is much higher than that. He says, so, though I speak with the tongues. In other words, I have the gift of that. And have not love, I am become as a sounding brass. Though I have the gift of prophecy, what he was just talking about, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And he talks about all of this. But in verse 4, he starts describing the characteristics of love. And this is something that you should spend some time looking at this week. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful. I'm reading from the Amplified, by the way. It is not boastful. It does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not fretful. It is not resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. In other words, whatever happens to it, love operates in a completely different, on a different level. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right prevails. It bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything. Love never fails. Love never fails. I don't care how many times you've been hurt. I don't care how many times you've been talked ugly to. I don't care what's gone on in your life. love never fails. Period. And you know, it's easy when you've been part of a church for so long, or when you've been a Christian for so long, some of you, you know, been believers most of your life. It is easy to forget sometimes that love never fails. It is easy to let that go. It is easy when you're surrounded by the world and when you're surrounded by people who do not believe the same way and who do not live the same way, even though they are professing Christians. It is easy to get right down in the mud with them, start doing the gossip thing. And maybe you're not gossiping, but maybe they're saying something about somebody at work and you said, mm-hmm, you know that's right. Because they're just expressing what you've been feeling all this time. And so, and you feel like you're okay. I can agree. I just don't have to be the initiator of it. Tells me that you got some forgiveness issues you got to work out. See, we need to go, listen, we need to go to a whole different level. A whole different level. You want the power of God operating in your life. You want the blessing of God operating in your life. You want all of these things happening in your life. But yet we're going to sit there and hold on to our problems with other people. You know what? It's not worth it, saints. I don't want to be walking in darkness. I don't want to be stumbling about in life. You feel like you don't have direction in life? You feel like you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing? Check your love walk. Make sure that forgiveness has been handled. Stand up with me, please. Hannah, would you come up and play, please? Listen, there was something very special that happened last week. A moment where some people realigned their love with God and went back to their first love. Now, I would like to take just a moment. And this is more important than anything else that we have going on. I would like to take just a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to us, each one of us, where we are. And just pray, just ask this for this moment. Holy Spirit, show me people that I have not walked in love towards. Holy Spirit, show me areas where I've allowed whatever form of hate enter my heart, unforgiveness enter my heart. Things that have kept me from walking into the greater things of God. Just pray that. Just ask that. However you want to do that for just a moment. This right now, this day, this moment is the most important thing that you can do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, just bring to their mind people, individuals that have hurt, that have treated them wrongly, that have been enemies to them, that have actively tried to destroy them. Family members that there has been disconnect, no relationship. Maybe it's just old friends that you, because of an argument, because of a disagreement, and neither one of you wanted to budge, you're no longer friends. Maybe there's tension at work because of the way that people treat you. Some people can have tension. Other people, if you really love, you'll be in a place where there will not be any tension. See? Because tension is felt not because of what other people are doing, but because of your thoughts towards them. So you can live in a place of peace even though other people are living in a place that there is no peace, there's discord. Whatever's going on, whatever storm is happening, you can be in a place of perfect peace when you're walking in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now make the decision, whoever those people are, make the decision right now. I don't care how many times they've hurt me. I don't care how many times they've done me wrong. I make the decision to forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. I make the decision to love. I make the decision to do good. That God may require you and may tell you to seek that person out and do something good for that person. And that will be you walking in the light and being at a place that God can continue to reveal things for you. Some of you that have not had direction and it felt like that you're stuck in life, this may be the reason why you've been stuck, because you've held on to things. It's time to let them go right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you that have been sick and have not been able to get healed, you've been standing in faith. Your faith hasn't worked because you've been holding on to things. I know that by the Spirit of God. Your sickness and your problems aren't worth holding on to what you feel like that you are justified to hold on to. It's time to let it go. Amen.